KBOO is proud to partner with Hopworks Urban Brewery for their community tap program. Every month, Hopworks features a local nonprofit organization, and May's Community Tap is your community radio, KBOO. To celebrate, KBOO is holding a kickoff party at Hopworks Southeast Powell location on Tuesday, May 5th from 7 to 11 p.m. The whole family is welcome. KBOO will broadcast live from Hopworks, bringing you the Melting Pot and DJ Anjali and the Kid live from the brewery. Hopworks is located at 2944 Southeast Powell Boulevard in Portland, and everyone is invited to attend. You can meet other fellow KBOO listeners and consider having some food and drink. That's the KBOO Hopworks Community Tap Kickoff, featuring the Melting Pot and Anjali live Tuesday, May 5th at 7 p.m. For more info, go to kboo.fm/hub.
Yeah, look 'em all. Yeah, now with them.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the third annual Surf Riders Soiree, Thursday, May 7th at the Holocene in Portland. The fundraiser will include an art show, silent auction, raffle, DJ, and screening of two surf films, North of the Sun and The Fortune Wild. Proceeds will benefit the Portland chapter of Surf Riders Clean Water Campaign. Again, that's the third annual Surf Rider Soiree, Thursday, May 7th, 6 to 11 p.m. at the Holocene, 1001 Southeast Morrison in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Bloom Festival at Tryon Community Farm, Saturday, May 9th from 2 to 10 p.m. at Tryon Life Community Farm in Portland. There will be workshops on mushrooms, pollinator bees, and orchards, along with all-ages entertainment and hands-on fun. Again, that's the Bloom Festival at Tryon Life Community Farm, Saturday, May 9th from 2 to 10 p.m. at Tryon Life Community Farm, 11640 Southwest Boons Ferry Road in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, May 5th, Cinco de Mayo 2015, and you are listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. It's your radio because it's you, the membership, that keeps everything rolling here, that keeps voices going out to you every day, dependably, over the airwaves, reaching out to you. And also, we listen to you. We take your comments. We invite you down because coming up in the 6th, our membership drive begins, and you can get a head start on that because I know that you're probably the kind of person that likes to do that. And we invite you to call, to come on down, to go to the website, and do what you can to support the effort. That said, we have two remarkable guests today. Jason Stanford is with the Coalition to Stop Fast Track. He's going to be joining us in just a few moments. And then after that, Robert Craig is back, the Executive Director of Citizen Action Wisconsin, to deconstruct some of the extraordinary words emerging from the mind of Scott Walker. We often wonder how is it that a public figure who of some stature, some of these people are referred to as public intellectuals. I don't think we can possibly go that far with Scott Walker, but definitely public, appear to be lies. And prosecutors from the left and the right are asking Walker if he would like to clarify what exactly he meant. But first, we we have Jason Stanford with the Coalition to Stop Fast Track joining us today. Good morning, Jason. Thank you so much for being with us.
Good morning, and you're welcome. It's good to be talking to a Portland audience again. I went to college at Lewis and Clark, and I miss the area.
Well, you're back. The area? Yeah. Yes, perfect. This week, the Department of Commerce released the latest monthly U.S. trade figures. The data shows a trade deficit. Okay, that said, the Trans-Pacific Partnership that many in Washington are trying to rush through as fast as possible, hence the term fast track, it's characterized by two major factors. One is the extraordinary secrecy under which the negotiations took place. We still don't know everything that's in this thing, nor, I believe, do our elected representatives, apparently, judging from our own Senator Ron Wyden. So first off, secrecy, and secondly, this mad dash to get fast track through so that people can be basically hoodwinked into voting for it without really understanding the impact that it would have. Talk about that, could you, about the fast track and what its genesis is, and why the need for speed on this thing?
Well, the need for speed on this thing is because they can't hold their votes together, at least for long. And by all published reports, they don't have the votes for it right now. Fast track doesn't really refer to how fast they're trying to get it through. They are trying to fast track. But what fast track means is they want Congress to give up its constitutional authority to negotiate these trade treaties and just hand it over to the administration. And then what the administration would do is finish negotiating this treaty, which is mostly done. And then Congress would get some time to look at it, but then it would have to vote for it up or down. It would not have any amendments at all. And that's a big ask when, like you said, they're not allowed to see what's in the treaty. Oh, something that happened in today's papers in Japan, the Japan Diet recently got the Japanese Prime Minister to agree to show them what's in the treaty. The Japanese lawmakers now have greater access to this treaty than our own congressional lawmakers do. That's a lot to ask. They have classified this treaty as top secret. What that means is members of Congress are allowed to see it, but oftentimes they're under guard. They're sworn to secrecy, told that they will be committing treason if they talk about what they have read. They have staffers with top secret security clearance who are able to see incredibly important national security documents pertaining to terrorism, pertaining to the Iran nuclear treaty, who aren't allowed to look at this free trade treaty. There is an elaborate system of security covering this, and yet they say this is the most transparent process they've ever had for a free trade treaty.
Which is an outright lie. Apparently, reports are that if you want to look at any of this stuff, you have to go in a little room you're not allowed to make notes. And
right, Congresswoman DeLauro, Rosa DeLauro from the Northeast, she told me that what she's asked for from the United States Trade Representative is someone in the room with her, so if she has questions, she can ask. I mean, it's a bit unreasonable to expect a member of Congress to understand all of the language in a treaty. It's very technical. But they're refusing to put anyone in there to help explain that. And of course, they can't have their own experts in the room, and they can't take notes. It's a very isolating experience. Meanwhile, the administration is using this secrecy as a way to leverage selling it. They're bringing people into the members of Congress into the Situation Room to lobby them on this. And it's a very curious situation.
Is there any precedent for this?
I think I can't speak exactly to everything, but they are generally classified, but it's a bit strange to think of it as a transparent process. This is why fast track is so hard to sell. The last two presidents who tried this, Clinton and George W. Bush, were not able to get fast track passed in the second halves of their administration. if this were just on the free trade treaty, they'd have a bit of an easier time. But this fast-track thing, asking members of Congress to give up authority to the president, is proving a very, very difficult sell.
We wondered, too, about, and we've got just a minute or so left here, but we wonder about the support is for this thing is coming from some very surprising quarters. Ron Wyden has been, you know, a staunch defender of many of the institutions that we in Oregon believe in, and that mm-hmm. he is loudly proclaiming the need for first up the fast track so there could be an up or down vote, which is dangerous in the first place.
Right.
Secondly, this thing would allow for a foreign corporation to come in and trample upon our protections for forest streams and that sort of thing is very important in Oregon. It's an agricultural state. Those things dismantled would be the dismantling of our main of our economy, essentially. And the deal being that if they could say that it's worth whatever they want to log the whole state, and then tell people that if you don't like it, you pay, because that's what we lose if we don't. That's the thing, it's these courts, and I still to this day cannot fathom the need for these courts are empowered to make such critical decisions that are irrevocable. How can this happen?
Yeah, what you're referring to there is called investor state
yes.
dispute settlement, in that would expand the rights of multinational corporations to take state, local, federal government in this country to before a secret tribunal in Europe to demand compensation for our regulations and laws that they say cost them money. So if you outlaw, say, throwing broken glass into drinking water, the glass company could sue the taxpayers. You can't overturn. Now, that's a ridiculous example, of course, but they can't sue to overturn the regulation. They can get compensation. So what local government is going to protect the environment or protect their people if they know they're going to have to fork over money for things to companies like Philip Morris? John Oliver's HBO show did a segment on this type of lawsuit that happened in South America. That's going to start happening here. And that's a big reason why Paul Krugman, the award-winning economist who blogs and writes for the New York Times, he says this is much less about trade, and this is much more a corporate rights bill.
Thank you so much for that. We're out of time. I would like very much to have you back on the show. For now, we have to let you go. My guest has been Jason Stanford with the Coalition to Stop Fast Track. Go to the website, Stop Fast Track, and there's work to be done. And now is the time, because if you linger on this, it's going to be too late.
Absolutely.
Thank you again for that.
You're welcome.
We'll put links to that website on the KBOO website. And now we go to Robert Craig, the Executive Director of Citizen Action Wisconsin. And Governor Scott Walker has been at it again. He hasn't announced yet that he's running for president. Clearly he is, but he's certainly come up with some very startling, let's just say lies, that career prosecutors, Republican and Democrat, have just called him out. Good morning, Robert. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning. Thanks, Chris.
Well, so how do we deconstruct this? Scott Walker seems to think that he could say whatever he wants and that he'll hoodwink people. We've got just a couple of minutes. Can you give us in brief what the hell's going on with Scott Walker?
Well, Governor Walker has been under investigation for some very serious allegations. It was led by a Democratic prosecutor and a Republican prosecutor, and the investigator is a Republican prosecutor, of basically shredding the state's campaign finance laws during the famous recall elections, where he was recalled over his attack on public employees. And what he did, essentially, this is a little complicated, but people need to understand that all of these independent groups with dark money aren't allowed to coordinate with campaigns and candidates and run the same ads, have the same strategy. Otherwise, you'd essentially be deregulating elections. There'd be no campaign limits. There'd be no reporting, no nothing, if the campaign and what these independent expenditure dark money groups are doing. Walker did that. He raised money. This is all documents that have been released. For independent groups like the Club for Growth and Americans for Prosperity, and then directed how they would spend money, what ads they would run, et cetera. So there was a huge investigation. There were police raids on the houses of people who were part of it. And so that's part of what he's trying to play off of. He's claiming it's somehow some violation of freedom and free speech. But what he's really trying to do, and the Wall Street Journal has been backing him up on this, is trying to change the campaign finance laws after the fact and claim this is all legal. And unfortunately, there's been some right-wing judges that have held up the investigation that want to do that, want to take Citizens United and extend it all the way, all its full implications, and say, essence, that there are virtually no campaign regulations, and you can spend unlimited amounts of money, get unlimited amounts from large billionaires that you never report, and that's going to be the way politics will work in the United States. So that's what really happened. He's trying to change the subject by claiming that he's been persecuted and attacking prosecutors. That's what's going on.
We need to have you back to talk about this a little bit more, and about this the in the wings wait to make his presidential intentions known. Thanks so much for being with us today, Robert. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show. My guests today have been Jason Stanford, the Coalition to Stop Fast Track, and Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action Wisconsin. Our engineer today, Janet Anderson. Thanks, Janet. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
Today on Flashpoint's special May Day edition, we'll be joined by international